and forth during the time clock of man. The sun is Christ, the moon is Satan. All through our history of man, the night and the moon are associated with the things of evil, vampires, witches, those kinds of things. It's just a portrayal from Satan all the way down, his forces of darkness, all those things being part of the night and the moon, the full moon particularly. And yet the moon has light, because Lucifer is the power of light. He is the light angel of light who portrays himself as light. He is a great, and he does rule. So the greater to rule the day, and the lesser to rule the night. The night and darkness all through Scripture are the realms of Satan and his power. The day and the light and the sun are part of Christ, and what the other side does in that same fashion. The story is being told here. 12, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, as in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, she has Christ around her, Israel, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, this is Israel, and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She's going to give birth to Messiah. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon, there's the bad guy again, with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. Then the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so he might devour her child the moment it was born. Satan went to a lot of effort to try and kill Messiah at the moment of his birth. Herod, all the kind of things he set in motion to wipe out Jesus Christ. He gave birth to a son, the Messiah did come, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child will snatch up the God into his throne. The whole thing went down without a hitch. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,250 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then it goes on the rest of the way, more and more information. What happens in this chapter right here, by the way, it pulls everything together for us. We are given 4 or 5 names of Satan in 1 or 2 verses, bringing the whole story down to it's been one enemy all along. He's called the great dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil, or Satan. This pulls all those names together in Scripture and tells us they are the same guy behind the scenes. It's been one behind. Otherwise, we can't be entirely sure of what's going on. This chapter is very important for pulling the whole scene for us. We have lots of different names out there. Are there many different bad guys or what? No, they're all one and they unify. This is a grand central station chapter that pulls a lot of threads of Scripture down into place. The fight of God versus Satan. Why the great dragon wants to wipe out the son of the woman, Israel. Take him out. And he is the same guy from the very beginning all the way through. These are all names of the same entity. And we are told that this chapter is important for that reason. It's a grand central station chapter. And there are other passages like this in Scripture. John 21 is like this. John 21 tells us the rest of the story, not just on Peter, by the way. It tells us the rest of the story on a lot of episodes that were left hanging for us. For instance, the feeding of the 5,000. You never thought of that as an episode, did you? The feeding of the 5,000 wasn't finished yet. That was the beginning of the story he was telling. And then he finishes it here. There's several other stories going on at the same time that if we don't have this chapter, we don't get the end of what was being told. The typings and the simultalks that are going on don't finish. They all come together in this chapter in very strong fashion. We're not going to have time to cover them all by any means, but I want you to see the major ones because they come about on one major issue. On one major issue. And that's the journey of man before God. The journey of man is one, if you make the trip with God, the journey of man covers 2 phases as long as we live. 2 phases. It covers what I call salvation one, or redemption. And it covers sanctification. Sanctification. Redemption and sanctification. Now there's a third one, that's glorification. We can't do anything about that. We can do nothing about that. God will bring that about at last. When we finally die and we get to heaven and we get our resurrection body, that's in God's hands. But we have 2 phases, phase 1 and phase 2, that we as a human being have to cover if we want to make the trip properly. We have to go through redemption, entering the kingdom,